Talk to me all night. But I ask public mute on their end unless they don't want to speak to us. They'll take care of the background noise. Directors, you're going to have to leave your mics open more than likely. I'll roll real quick. Jared Reynolds.
Here.
Richard English.
Here.
Anna Nay.
Here.
Tim Watts.
Here.
Don Micah.
Here.
Brent Wilson.
Here.
Mike Berkeley. I saw Mike.
Yeah, I'm muted though.
Oh, he's muted?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm here.
Myself, Tracy Metzler.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Mike. Thank you.
Okay, good. Sorry.
We do have a quorum. Is there anybody that wishes to speak to the board on an item that's not on the agenda tonight? If so, if you would hit chat or wave your hand at Doug so he can recognize you.
Yeah, for those of you online, if you're on your computer, down at the bottom of your screen, if you hover over it where it says participants, you can click on that, and at the bottom of that pop out, there should be a function that says raise your hand. If you want to say something, you can do that.
And for anybody, as we go by agenda items, if you wish to speak on that item, please do that. Raise your hand so Doug can see you so I can recognize you at that time. Anything else from the board at this point before we get started? Today's preliminary hearing is on proposed historic use permits. And I'll ask, we take a roll call, and we do have a quorum. Give them a script. I'm going through real quickly. We do have a quorum present here. The board will be involved in taking action on some or all of the historic use permit applications before us today if they are uncontested. This hearing will be governed by the district's rules, Chapter 36 of the Texas Water Code, and all applicable law. I'll note that the notice requirements for this hearing have been met. Apart from the regular board meeting notice, the separate public notice for the public hearing on proposed historic use permits is provided by the general manager no less than 30 or more than 35 days prior to today's hearing in compliance with District Rule 3.F.3, subsection D, and E.4, subsection F. That notice included the information that is required by the district rules and was posted at a place convenient for the public at the district office, provided to the county clerk of each of the four counties in the district for public posting, and provided to any person who requested to receive such notices to the district. Additionally, the notice was also posted on the district website, and the notice of the hearing was also included in the notice for this meeting, which was posted in compliance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. I will ask that the staff include a copy of the notices in the administrative record for this hearing. Is there any objections to the sufficiency of the notice from the board? The notice included a list of some 46 historic use permit applications included in the hearing notice. I refer to the applications in general. Those are the applications to which I'm referring unless otherwise noted. Because this is the district's first permit hearing on the applications for historic use permits, let me cover some procedural rules. The general manager is in agreement. It's my understanding the general manager is in agreement with the applicant's maximum historic use claims on each and every application before us today. So he will not be contesting any of these applications. For those applications that are not contested, I intend to proceed today to give the board the opportunity to actually consider and vote on each application. We may wrap up with all of the applications into one motion if that's the board's pleasure, or we may need to continue the hearing of if an issue arises on one or more. As provided by our rules, if at least two board members disagree with the general manager's proposed permit and want additional evidence on application, we will table that application and do so. If we receive a valid request for a contested case hearing on any applications, we will likely defer those to a future date for consideration. Our rules provide that the official record for uncontested applications may be our minutes, an audio tape, or hearing reports. We are making an audio recording of this hearing, but we may substitute the minutes later to serve as the official record of this hearing. Because we are making an audio recording of the hearing, I'd ask that anyone who speaks clearly identify themselves on the record so that your name is part of the official record. Just because an application is then contested doesn't mean the board automatically accepts the claims in the permit applications. The board is bound by law to evaluate each application on its own merits, look at all relevant information, and then review the statutory criteria to make the final decision. The district's general manager and staff have done quite a bit of work and analysis during their technical review of the applications, as required by the district rules. The information in each application and the GM's technical review, recommendation, and proposed permit is summarized in the board packets that each board previously received. If any board member is interested in reviewing an application further or asking questions about the applications to the staff, they'll have a chance to do so when we get to them. I will now ask the general manager to run through the description, the nature of the review, and the analysis of the applications, and then summarize the recommendations. The board will have a chance to ask general manager questions or even go through information in the applications. If the applicant is with us, we'll certainly give him or her a chance to make any statements to the board if they'd like to do so. Given that the applications reviewed by the general manager are not contested by the general manager, it is really not necessary for the applicant to make any presentation if the applicant agrees with the general manager's recommendations and believes that there is enough evidence in the record to support their application. If the applicant wants to add anything to the record today, it would be a time to do so. I will want to square in anyone who makes a statement regarding any of these applications just to make sure our record satisfies legal requirements, which includes requirement that information that the board consider be based on sworn testimony. After we're done with the questions for any uncontested applications, if there are no open issues to be discussed, I will ask for a motion from the board on the applications. On the granting of an application, and assuming the applicant is in compliance with the district's rules and all applicable laws, and has paid all fees due, the district will issue a permit to the applicant. The applicant's right to produce and use groundwater shall be limited to the extent and purposes stated in the permit. In denying any applications for permit, the board shall issue an order setting forth its reasons for such denial. If we have an application where questions are asked that can't be answered today, I would like for us to consider continuing that particular application until our next hearing. We don't have to continue it, but it may be appropriate for us to do so to allow the general manager to call the applicant and request that he attend the next hearing. Maybe the general manager can spend some time over the course of the month to research the issue. Make a decision on whether to continue it on a case-by-case basis as the issue may come up today. I would like to note for the record the district has not received any request for a contested case hearing for any of the historic use applications before us today. However, our rules allow someone to show up at today's preliminary hearing and attempt to contest a permit application. Requesting a contested case hearing is different than just making comments to the board on an application. Both are allowed, but requesting a contested case hearing is requesting to be named as a party in a contested administrative hearing, in essence, an administrative trial on the application. Is there anyone here today participating in the hearing that wishes to formally request a contested case hearing on any of the applications? I'll give folks a moment to raise their hand electronically or unmute. Can they raise their hand, Doug?
Sir.
Although no one advised that they intend to request a contested case hearing on an application, you can certainly provide public comment on the application you're interested in when we get to that point. Because we have not received any contested case hearings on any of the applications,
back tomorrow.
Because the general manager is recommending permit issuance on each of these applications, I hereby declare the applications to be uncontested.
Is Zach across the street from her?
Board have any questions? Okay. Does the public have any questions? To secure a sworn testimony from the general manager and all the applications before us today, let me swear him in. Doug, please raise your right hand. With respect to all of the applications before us today, do you solemnly swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Would you please proceed with your overview of the applications?
Well,
and before he starts, let me ask the board a question for him. He and I talked a little bit earlier. If you would like to take one of the small ones and go through it, if you can run through one whole application, if not, still this summation.
Yep.
So if at any point board members have questions, please ask.
So, and as I provided, as Tracy mentioned, I believe Kyle sent you guys a link a couple weeks ago, the week after our last board meeting, that had a link to all the historic use permits that are included in this, the applications included in this hearing. And as I've kind of summarized in the last couple of meetings and in my memo, you know, we've basically grouped historic use permit applications into two groups. One group is those requesting an amount less than or equal to their maximum historic use. And then the second group is those that are requesting something greater than that, right?
I'm maximum historic use.
So maximum historic use is defined by district rules, and it's basically from the period of 2009 through the end of 2019, the year of greatest maximum, the greatest year of greatest groundwater pumping. Most of that is verified in every application today. All of that, what they've requested, is verified by district records. So in other words, volumes reported through the district. You know, there may be folks that we don't have reported pumping, so they'll have to provide that. So, but again, back to the two groups, those that requested less than or equal to their maximum historic use, and then those that requested something else. And we, there's a number of reasons they could do that. Either they didn't have pumping records, they never reported to the district for one reason or another. All the wells in their system aren't drilled, so they don't really have what they would consider a maximum historic use. What I brought before you today are all applications where folks have requested a volume less than or equal to their maximum historic use. In other words, they're, you know, I kind of wanted to put some of the easiest ones I could. These are just for Hood County. I plan on having at least in another couple months a similar hearing for the ones in Parker County. And then a couple months after that, meet a hearing for the ones probably Wise and Monte will move together. But what I wanted to do is bring some to you guys that are really straightforward, right? They're asking, when the board adopted district rules, the idea behind the historic use permit was allowing an applicant to receive a permit for what they could prove up was their maximum historic use. So what we put together are a group of those in Hood County that they're requesting a maximum historic, a volume less than or equal to their maximum historic use that we can verify. And it just so happens every one of these are requesting a volume that matches up with our maximum historic use or less than that volume from records that they refer, what they reported to the district historically. So just a quick summary, as Tracy mentioned, there's 46 applications. They have come from Acton Municipal Utility District, submitted one for their system in Hood County. Aqua Texas submitted multiple applications, one for each of their systems in Hood County. Now, Aqua has several systems. This isn't all their systems. They have some systems that they're requesting something above and beyond for one reason or another, their ultimate historic use. These are the systems that are only requesting their historic use or less. The City of Crescent, City of Granbury, City of Toller, Moreland Water, Southwest Water Company has multiple systems, same scenario as Aqua Texas. Bluestone Natural Resources has multiple systems, then FDL, Land Fund Manager, Janelle Lockett, Ingram Concrete, Luminant Generation Company, and Lone Star Prospects. So again, every one of these applications, the volumes we're seeing are staff verified that it's their maximum historic use or less based on volumes reported to the district historically during the historic use period. It is worth noting before we move on, having a discussion, Director English had provided myself and Tracy with a sworn affidavit since he is the general manager of Acton Municipal Utility District, and we're considering their application today. So the way I kind of have it laid out is to take, of course, my recommendation is approval of all of these applications. And so what we should do, or what I would recommend that we do, in order to allow Richard to take part in the discussion and the vote for all the rest of these. If there is any discussion, we would need to exclude AMUD's application from that discussion. We would need to exclude AMUD's application from that motion and that vote. And then after that, Richard would basically step away from the discussion and we would take up discussion and action on AMUD's application. And here's my recommendations would be to do this in two motions because of the AMUD issue I brought up. I'm happy to answer any questions that the board may have. Tracy, or if you guys want me to kind of go through one of these application packages so you can have an idea kind of what all we put together, happy to do so, whatever the board wishes.
Hey, Doug, this is Jared. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I was involved in some of the HUPs for Southwest Water while I was still working there. Is that a conflict of interest? Do I need to abstain from those votes on the Southwest Water?
I'll ask Brian, but I would think not because you're no longer employed by them. Brian, what is your opinion? Sledge.
Sorry, I have to unmute. I'm sorry. Jared, you're no longer employed there?
I'm not.
Okay, give me one second. Yeah, we're gonna need you to file an affidavit and abstain from participation in those, assuming that last year funds received from Southwest were 10% of your income or more. Okay, I'll mail you the affidavit right here. And Doug, maybe you can walk through one of the other permit applications just for the type of analysis y'all did on the review.
Yes. So in other words, we would need Jared to abstain, similar to how Richard is, and then he can abstain. If you're not taking part in this, could you mute?
If you're not taking part.
This is Mike Burke. Sorry, Mike, I muted you.
That's okay. I was having all kinds of problems. I had to go to my phone for a while.
So, like I said, Jared could abstain. Brian, am I correct in understanding that Jared could abstain from this? You could put together a document for him to sign similar to what Richard did?
Yeah, I just want to get it to him before we take action here.
Okay. Could you send that over to him?
Yeah, I'm working on it right now.
So where we are then is basically...
We'll pull those two out and handle them separately.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, so basically just the first motion up there would be all right, we would just need to add all the systems submitted by Southwest Water to that, which are systems 44, 45, 46.
53.
47, 49, 50, 51, 52, and 53. While we're doing this, Tracy, do you want me to go through one of those?
Well, I was going to ask if any board members have any questions on any of the applications other than those two or on the general process itself.
No, like I said, Jay was out. We'll do that something for, and I'll make sure I get that to you, and we'll talk about it in the future.
Gentlemen, have any questions? The board members are continuing by Zoom. Do you have any questions at this point?
Tim Watts, no, I do not.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Does the board want him to run through one of them just so we know what's involved in the process?
That'd be great.
Okay. Doug, if you would, please.
Yep.
Whichever one's most difficult.
No. I know how you like to get it. So what I pulled up is a fairly straightforward application package. It's in front of you guys. It's a little bit smaller. So the first page, and you've got links to all these. There's a package like this for every application submitted for every system. The first page is the actual proposed permit. So this would be, if approved, what would be completed, signed, and provided to the applicant as their permit. Everything included in this is laid out in district rules. So all the summary stuff, you see in every one of these, the maximum historic use, their requested volume, and my recommendation is the same for all of them. Goes back to them requesting their maximum historic use or less. There's a description of it, of the well, and then down below, this will be, date of the initial hearing, date of the permit issuance, date of expiration, authorized volume, be signed and notarized, signed by myself, notarized, and this would serve as their permit. It's got terms and conditions of the permit. Brian and some of his attorneys that work for him put this together for us. So this is basically page 2 of the permit. The next part of the permit is the actual application for historic use. So we put these together. They've been out for everyone. So this is the completed application with my initials, the date of administrative completeness. So I thought it's been reviewed, it's administratively complete. Second page of that is their actual groundwater production. This is what they entered. On all of these, everybody's matches what has been reported to the district. So this is what Kyle and Jay have been going through the last couple of years, putting all this data together and going through this, make sure it's all lines up, matches up. Executed. Again, if they're approved, this would be signed and be sent to them as part of their application, as part of their permit. Second is just part of what we call the aggregated report. So for those folks with multiple wells, they have this. So for this one, there was only one well. If they had multiple wells, there was a page here that had a list of all of their wells, the GPS coordinates for the wells, the location of it, legal description. If it's only one well, all that stuff's included in the page, in the application itself. For multiple wells, there's a page between these two. It was located here. So this is the system total. So this is the total production for the whole system. If they had multiple wells, there'd be multiple pages. There'd be a page with total production for each well within the system. So for example, for AMUD's application, there would have been... For C of Granberry's application, there would have been, 40 some odd wells with annual production for every well here. And then on summary sheet for each year within 2009 through 2019. And this is monthly, so January through. And then this is the system total annual. And then for each well within the system, you would see a well information sheet. This is stuff from our database, the well ID, coordinates, location, driller if we have that information, owner if we have for that information, information about the well, gallons per minute, depth, all this stuff, the aquifer from which the well produces water, all this stuff. If we have pictures, meters, they'll be included there. Not everyone has the meter here, but we do have pictures from most of their meters. So it's just all the information for every well within the app included in the application. Of course, we're looking at a simple one here with only one well. Then we have either a tax card or a deed or an easement showing the applicant either owns or has a legal authority to produce water from the well, from the location they own the land where the well is, or they have the right to produce water. You know, for Granberry, we may have a bunch of easements for, you know, folks like Ingram Concrete. They actually own the property. Then you'll see a map, and then you'll see a couple maps. You'll see a system map that shows all the wells in the entire system. This is a simple one, so you're only going to see one well. Or wells with multiple systems with multiple wells, you'd see the system map. And then you would see a map for each individual well zoomed in. Of course, this is one well, so that wasn't necessary. Then we have documentation showing the person who signed the application actually has legal ability to sign for that entity. Either that's either through a letter or through documentation. This is from the comptroller's website. And that's basically it. So this is a real straightforward 16-page application package. I believe Granberry's was
about 400 pages.
So again, we put an application package for this for every one of these. Kyle and Jay have a lot of fun. We've got hard copies in there. I've gone through and reviewed every one of these application packages to make sure everything's complete. I did that before I actually declared them administratively complete and set the hearing. So everything that is before you today is complete and is, you know, ready for you guys to do what you will. Does anybody have any questions?
At this point, I'm going to ask if anybody in the public has any questions on any of the applications with the exception of Southwest Water and AMUD. Doug shaking his head that he doesn't have anybody raising their hand.
I have a question. And did the staff have any issues that will have to make any changes for future?
No, sir. Everything, any issues, anything that there was issues was not included in this group. So these are all as absolutely as straightforward, as simple as we could have possibly put together. I wanted it to be the first hearing to be just as easy as it could be.
You do have some that have requested more than their highest use. You can bring those back to us at a later date.
We technically can't even begin hearing those until September of 2023 because they've got to go through a 2-year verification period.
Okay. All right.
So it'll be, the way it'll work out is we'll have this hearing, we'll have one for similar to this, the easy ones for Parker County, the easy ones for, I say easy, the ones that are requesting maximum historic use or less for Wise and Monte County. Once we get those hearings done, it'll be about a 2-year period before we'll start bringing those that requested something above their maximum historic use. And in that 2-year period, Kyle and I are going to have to sit down and have meetings with every one of those applicants. They'll have to produce documentation of why they're requesting something more. Maybe it's a system that was, you know, at the end of 2019, the system was only built out to 50% capacity. But it'll be a couple of years before we get to those. Right now, these are pretty straightforward.
Those include those who need to do 2-year production so they actually have numbers to give us.
Correct.
As well as those who need to produce their economic expectation.
Correct.
And try to justify that amount.
Correct.
Any other, is that pretty well the two
that's scenarios? That's pretty much the two scenarios. Either they don't have 2 years of production submitted to us or from one reason or another. You know, we brought several folks into the permitting system, into the reporting system that weren't included. So there's those. And then folks that, like I said, some of the cities, you know, for example, I know folks in the town of Veneta are on the meeting. I know like they've got several wells they've applied for that haven't quite drilled yet, or they've only recently drilled. So they don't have full production for those. So they'll be part of that extrapolated request also, because give them time to start actually get those wells online, get some pumping data from those wells, and then kind of extrapolate that out as what those wells would have produced if they were fully functioning at the time during the historic use period. So we'll sit down and visit and have meetings. Like I said, by the time we bring something, anything to you, just the way the process works is, you know, I've got to publish my recommendation as part of the notice. So everything will be fully vetted. Hopefully before I bring anything to this board, I will have sat down with those and come up with something that both the applicant and myself can agree upon. I mean, if we don't, then not everything, it's not a perfect world. But before I bring it here for a preliminary hearing, that would be my goal, with, to come to a place where we're in agreement. So.
Are you ready for a motion?
No, hold on a second. Jared, have you gotten that notice from Brian yet?
I've looked in my email. I hadn't got it as 2 or 3 minutes ago.
I sent it to your Gmail, Jared.
I have not got it.
Well, let's just hold on, everybody. Bye.
Brian, we can go ahead and process everything but those two, correct?
Yes, sir.
Again, but in public, want to have anything to wish to say on these other applications? There not being one, Chair, entertain a motion to approve the general manager's recommendation in relation to all historic use permit applications, including the notice for preliminary hearing on the proposed historic use permits for today's hearing, excluding the application for system ID 001-8 and ID 044 through 037H.
I put them back up, Tracy. It's not all of them. It's
okay.
044H, 45H, 46H, 47H, 49H,
yeah.
50H, 51, 52,
53, which are the active municipal utility district applications and the Southwest Water applications.
I'll make that motion.
Have a motion from Director Micah. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Director Nay. Any discussion or questions from the board? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
So, Tracy, I think we can even do AMUDs. Since we've got Richard's document, we can do AMUDs now as well.
Chair, I have a motion to approve the general manager's recommendation related to the historic use permit application for system ID 001-H submitted by Acton Municipal Utility District. Director English is abstaining from this discussion and action. Do I have a motion?
I so move.
Motion by Director Nay. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Director Micah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Aye. Motion carries.
Jared, did you get that document from Ryan?
I do have it here. Can I just sign it electronically? Just, or do I have to sign it by hand and scan it in?
I think you got to sign it by hand and scan it in. But I'm not actually sure about that. Hold on one sec.
Let me just see and sign it.
Yeah, you got a printer, Jared?
Not on this computer, I don't. And the top of it still says affidavit for Richard English.
Oh, you should have one for Jared. Yeah. Oh, it does. You're right.
Yeah, you changed the body, yeah, but not the title.
How many directors do we have present, Tracy?
We have a full board. We have I'm gonna make an administrative notice that Jared is excluded from this discussion and this action, that he is in the process of getting an affidavit to us to complete the record.
I'll abstain from the vote.
Yeah, Jared, let's just do this. Just because there's no permit approval that's worth getting in trouble over. Why don't you log out of the meeting temporarily and rejoin us in about 2 minutes.
I can do that.
Okay.
Let's hold
Doug, on. Can you just, or.
I'll kick you out.
Yeah, just kick me out for a second.
He's been waiting for years to do that.
How many people?
He's gone.
Okay.
Put that list back up here for me, please.
Yes, sir.
Chair, it is a motion to approve the general manager's recommendation in relation to the historic use permit application for system ID number 044H, 045H, 046H, 047H, 049H, 050H, 051H, 052H, and 053H, submitted by Southwest Water. Do I hear a motion?
A motion.
Motion by Director Mike. Do I hear a second?
I'll second this, Richard.
Second by Director English. Any further discussion?
Just one question.
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. And for the record, I show both of those votes as being 7-0. And please note the directors were not party to the votes.
Yep. And we'll include both affidavits with the minutes. With everybody else. I'll let Jared know to log back in, Tracy.
Okay. We have no applications that were continued, so we will adjourn the hearing at 5:37 a.m. We get Jared back, I'll pick up our record agenda.
All right, Jared's back.
Well, I would have come back in on my computer, but because I was booted out by the host, it wouldn't let me log back in, so I'm back in on my phone. So apparently it thinks I'm really bad and won't let me back in.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to our regular board meeting agenda at 5:38, which consists of consent agenda, which is items recommended by the staff and approval there was strictly on the basis of staff recommendation. These are normal and customary actions by the board, including some minutes, approval of minutes from public hearing and regular board meeting on April 19th, 2021, approval bank statement ending on April 30th, 2021, and current financial reports to the district, approval of investment report, payment of bills and invoices received through May 17th, 2021, reimbursement for expenses on behalf of the district through May 17th, 2021. I believe we have one travel in there, don't be in. Did you have travel tonight? Okay. Then we do not have travel. Chair, entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Motion by Director Micah. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Directed by Director Wilson. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item two is moot as nothing was pulled from the consent agenda for discussion. Item three, discussion regarding the summary report of relevant comments received related to proposed desired future conditions adopted by Groundwater Management Area A on October 27, 2020, including adoption of Resolution 21-001, adopting a summary report pursuant to Texas Water Code 36.108 subsection D and take actions necessary. Doug?
Yes, sir. It's pretty straightforward. You remember in January we held a hearing related to proposed DSCs. We did not receive any public comments during the hearing, and we did not receive any public comments outside of the hearing, written or verbal. As I've kind of noted up here in the presentation, Chapter 36 says D2 says that at the conclusion of the 90-day public comment period for proposed DFCs, each district shall compile a summary report of the comments received and present that to the GMA. Since we did not receive anything, I prepared a summary report. I put it out in the board package and sent to you guys. It's basically just a couple paragraphs that said, the law says we got to do all this stuff. We did all this stuff. We didn't receive any comments. And then I prepared a resolution for you guys adopting that summary report so that I could then submit it to GMA 8.
Well, have any questions, the staff? Chair would entertain a motion to approve resolution number 21-01 of the Board of Directors of the Upper Creek Groundwater Conservation District adopting the summary report pursuant to Texas Water Code, Chapter 36.108, subsection D-2. I need a motion, fellas.
This Richard, so moved.
I got a motion by Director Wilson, Director English. Will I take that as a second?
That'll work.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number four, discussion regarding the following request for an extension to drill through the water wells and take action as necessary. But we've been doing these as a whole group, haven't we?
Yeah, we have one note, and this is for the board's, y'all's decision, obviously. There are three of these, 11570, 11902, and 11993. This would be their fifth extension. Before five, previously five is the most extensions granted by the board. At that time, that was for Stonegate, kind of in that same area. That time, when the board approved that fifth extension, they said they aren't going to approve any more. So I included that in my recommendation. Of course, the board can choose to do something different. That recommendation is just based on historically how the board has acted. So we do have those three. It's their fifth. All the exempt wells, this is just their second extension request. Obviously, we've been taking... For a number of reasons, I think the drillers are extremely busy. I think there's all kinds of reasons, equipment, rain, yada, yada, yada. And then the other three, four non-exempt ones for WPS 1 LLC, I do believe they plan on having those drilled in the next 120 days. As far as the ones for the town of Oneida, the ones that's requesting their fifth extension, I do believe, I don't know if they wish to speak, but I believe the mayor and their engineer are both online.
What's the board's pleasure? No, we have kind of capped it at five extensions in the past.
Yeah, like I said, that was my recommendation. That's what it's based on.
This is the fifth extension or fifth extension?
This would be the fifth, yes, sir.
For all three of the Oneida wells?
Yes, sir. For all three, 11570, 11992, and 11993.
I'd like to hear from the...
I would, too. Mayor or the engineer?
This is Bruce Pinter. Can you hear me?
The wrong one. It's okay. There's a... Somebody.
Yes.
Yeah. Good evening, Mayor.
Good evening. Mayor. I have a little echo. I'm sorry.
Hi, board. This is Victoria Harkins for the town of Oneida. Can you hear me? Yes, I have a very bad echo as well.
Victoria, would you like to try that again?
I have a really bad echo, but I will just talk and you guys, I can just hear myself talk. So,
Victoria, thanks.
There you go. No, that's way better. So I'm on the application for well ID 11570. That's for our Lakes of Aledo second Paluxy well. What we have done for the last many, many months was we actually were in communication discussion with a neighboring development, and we were trying to essentially move that well to the east. That would have been better spacing for all intents and purposes. However, conversations with that developer have deteriorated. Since then, we have resubmitted the well for its original location, and we have submitted that well for the TCEQ approval. So we expect that within 60 days, and we are also going to approve for city council meeting Thursday night We already have the budget approved, but we're going to go to bid on Thursday night. So that well will be done within the next 120 days. We have, like I've said, we were in negotiation hoping that we could do a little bit better for groundwater management to move that well to the east. That did not work. So we're back to our original plan. For the wells for 11992 and 11993, those are both for Alito Heights, the subdivision that is to the south of us and actually in Anetta South, but we'll be their water purveyor. They are done with us up to this point. What we're waiting on now for both of those wells are their performance bond and maintenance bonds before we issue the permit to drill. They are aware of this, and they just moved the well, as you know, from the last, I think it was the last meeting, maybe the meeting before, where we approved the well, or you all approved the well to move to address the sanitary control easement, which the town of Minetta required. So those are in the final steps as well. I have not heard from them in a bit, other than I know that they were filing for an extension, but they have hired Malone Well Drilling to put those two wells in.
Do you anticipate them being done the same time frame?
At this time, I can tell you I don't know what the holdup is. And so, I like I said, I haven't spoken to them in at least 2 or 3 weeks, but I'm not aware of any other delays other than we, as the town, require them to turn in their various bonds. So as far as I know, we're done with what we require of them, the ball's in their court. And this extension was, you know, one of the other balls in their court.
Do those two wells already have TCEQ approval?
Yes, they do. Yes, good point. They do. And they have, I mean, I know you all probably are aware, but Phil Barnett passed from COVID. And they have hired Chuck Stark as their new engineer of record. So he has taken over the project. And I know that he has, he's been in touch with me several times as they've worked through several issues. So I do know that has happened. So Chuck Stark is now the new engineer for both of those wells.
Board, have any other questions, Victoria?
Tracy, I think Kyle let me know that I needed to update the exempt wells. So I'm doing that real quick so you have the right numbers in front
of me.
Because when I was putting this presentation together today, I updated the non-exempt wells, not the exempt wells.
Kyle, I know the answer to this one. Who paid the fees on this, the city of Minetta or Nut South?
On 11992 and 11993?
Yes.
Been a couple of years ago.
I know.
I also do not remember. I can go look with us.
Go look, please. This extension is for how many days, though?
120. Okay. All extensions are 120 days.
It sounds like drilling 570 and this bait drilling within 100.
Yeah, that one's, I don't think that one's, I think they have to have that. The other two are kind of out of their hands a little bit.
Yeah. And just so you know, for non-exempt wells, the initial exempt wells got 120 days initially, non-exempt wells get 240 days.
Yeah.
And then 120 days per extension.
Doug?
Yes.
Town of Anetta paid the invoices on both of those.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer.
Uh-huh.
Your recommendation that this is the fifth and final for all three?
I mean, if on 992 and 993, if y'all want to do one more for this, then, I mean, I'm okay with that. I mean, it's y'all's decision.
This is the fifth for all three of them.
This is the fifth for all three of them, correct.
Did they get down to that point to discuss it at that point then?
Yep.
Work.
Approval and just we'll see what things look like in 120 days to handle them. I can live with that.
Thoughts from board?
for what, 720 days of total permanent time?
2 years.
They can always come back and talk to us and ask for.
Yeah, if needed.
Yeah. So I'll make a motion to approve the request as presented. However, it will be noted that that wells 11570, 11992, and 11993, this is their final extension.
Do y'all want to do that, or do y'all want to allow for opportunity for them to come back and talk?
This is Tim Watts. I'd just as soon allow the opportunity to come back and talk as far as.
And I'll add that to the motion that they are allowed to appeal.
Okay. That work, Tim?
That'll work.
Okay. I make a second. Motion, Director Micah, second by Director Nave. Approve the well extensions for the wells listed in our agenda packet. The notation on the three wells is their fifth extension. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number five, discussion regarding the following potential violations of district rules and take actions necessary. Well ID 14921, Roberts Cutoff Road near Bowie, Texas, Monte County, by Joe Allen Kanzler, Jr. of Prater Waterwell. Doug?
Sir, kind of outlined it here in my presentation. Back in the beginning of February, got an application. February 8th, I think Leisha, you went out there initially, right? Leisha met the owner, Lone Star Backhoe Services and Construction, something like that, on site. He told her they own lot 3 and 4. The drillers, and I'll show you on the map in the next page, the drillers' initial coordinates showed up on neither one of the two lots. It was on lot 5. Leisha, again, when she met the owner, they identified a location on lot 4 where the owner wanted the well drilled. They marked it. These are small lots on the, this is the west side of Mammon Carter. They're real narrow. They're not even 100 foot wide, so they can't even meet the 50 foot setback. But she found a place that there was no other wells within 150 feet at least. Marked that. Middle of March, we got a call from, or an email from the driller requesting to amend the location. They amended their locations, were showing up on lot 3. Alicia called the drilling company, talked to the lady in the office who agreed, said no, it's supposed to be on lot 4. Blaine went out there, talked to the driller while you were out there. Driller directed him over to a location on lot 4. Blaine marked it, put the flag down, took a picture, you know, holding the GPS unit over the flag, and went about his business. Middle of last month, we had an application submitted by Coy White for also on lot 4. Well, looks like Lone Star Backhoe Services had sold both lots to Coy White. I guess that they know each other. They're friends. I guess, did you go up there, Leisha, that time? Mm-hmm. So Leisha went up there. Did you meet Lone Star or did you meet Coy up there?
I didn't meet anyone that night.
You talked to them on the phone. Mm-hmm. When Leisha went up there, she found that the driller had drilled the well at the front of lot 3. And talking with the owners, the previous owner and the current owner, they both told her the original well is supposed to be on lot 4 because that's where they're building the house now. And that's kind of where we're at. The driller was not very unhappy when Kyle called him and I ended up having to talk to him and just kept saying it didn't make any sense. However, staff thoroughly noted everything that was done. We've got pictures. Go to the next page here. So the map on the left was the original approved location. The map at the bottom shows the amended location. It's a red X. The green dot is where the well is actually drilled. The picture up there with the flag, that's back there at that red X. That's where Blaine put the flag down. So that was taken in March. The language down there at the bottom with the red, that's the email that Jenny sent with the amended location in March, clearly stating that the coordinates, the approved coordinates did change from what they submitted. She clearly stated the coordinates of the approved location. So I guess my recommendation is this will be their first violation, but district rules state that, you know, you got to drill within 30 feet of the approved location. It's almost 200 feet away. It's not even on the right lot. It's a weird situation. I'm not sure who actually drilled the well. I do know that Frater.
Did you drill a report on it?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
Frater, you know, back before Gary Frater passed away, Gary Frater was the licensed driller and owner, and he drilled the wells, signed the applications. When he passed, his son Bill took over the business. To my knowledge, Bill's not a licensed driller. Bill always writes his name down as the driller, and then he gets Mr. Joe Allen Kanzler Jr. to sign the application and put his driller number down. So technically, Mr. Kanzler is the driller. He's the one that submits the state well report, signs it as the driller. Whether or not he was actually on site and actually drilled the well, I don't know. But because he is the driller, he's got the license. He's the one that signed the application. It's my recommendation that we find that he had committed a violation and offer a settlement with a $250 penalty fee because it's the first violation.
What about the fact the well's not on the correct lot? And does the property owner own both lots?
The property owner owns both lots.
Are they willing to?
I mean, what they say, they're going to need a well over there eventually, right?
So they're building two separate homes. It's going to be investment property, so they're building.
Do we have records that they have already filed the necessary easements and documents to show they're going to operate a shared water well?
They're not sharing.
So they're going to drill a second well somewhere.
On lot four. Yeah, they want to drill a well on lot four, where the first one was supposed to go.
Well, one of them's going to go to lot three and one's going to go to lot four.
Correct.
But we do not have any documentation showing there's an easement or anything.
Why would they need one?
Well, because the owner of lot four owns both water wells. It's on his property.
No. But they're two separate lots.
Yeah.
Well, no, you can do that.
The well on lot three is on lot three. It was supposed to
okay.
Be yeah. The well on lot three is on lot three.
Okay.
Yeah.
It means we're platted
prior. Yeah. I mean, he's, yeah.
They're I know. This, it's
platted decades ago.
Yeah.
No, we don't need anything else. I mean, it is what it is, but I mean, they're going to drill that well anyway at some point in time. They just weren't going to drill it till further down the road.
Is it 150? Will that location will have to be 150 feet away from this well?
It will be. Yeah, it will be.
There's enough depth and lot to do that.
Right. It's about 176 feet away from the location that Blaine.
Did you say someone met Blaine out there when he flagged it? And
no, he was on the phone with them. And they've directed him to the location where the flag should be placed.
And so no, he was there by himself.
Yes. Yep. And when Leisha went back for the new well, Blaine's flag is still in the ground out there. So it's not like the flag got moved. It's still there.
So is that flag 150 feet away from the current one?
Correct. 170 feet.
So they know where to put them.
Yep. Yep. They know where it's got to go.
Right now, we don't know if the gentleman who signed the report actually had anything to do with it.
He does work for them. That's neither here nor there. It's just kind of an issue that we've been aware of. I think TDLRs might be aware of it also.
Well, it's not exclusively for this one particular operation here. We've had that in some other cases.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does the drill well violate any spacing requirements as far as property line or adjacent wells?
So it does property lines, but the lots are so narrow, Jared, that they're not even 100 foot wide. So you can't get 50 foot off both property lines.
Well, but the
well, length, there's another the unregistered well, 130, almost 140 feet away from the approved, from the actual drilled well, but it's not registered. We didn't know it was there until Leisha went out there and saw it. But it's not a registered well.
So the only violation is if they moved too far away from the roof side.
Correct.
And drilled on the wrong.
Yeah, but technically by our rules, it's the too far away. yes.
Just a bit outside. We have a recommendation from the general manager. What's the board's pleasure?
So move with the general manager's motion.
I second. Motion by Director Watt, second by Director Nay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Management report on administrative and operational issues, with the general manager's report of linked customers, report on education and outreach activities, report on injection well applications filed with the Railroad Commission, and well registration and groundwater production reports. Doug?
Yes, sir. As I briefly mentioned last month, sent out letters to the four county judges regarding expiring terms. I heard, of course, Monte County took action to reappoint Director Berkeley, which reminds me, Mike, I'll send you the documents, all the stuff you got to sign. I'll get that stuff to you here this week. So Monte County reappointed Director Berkeley. I've heard from Judge Clark. He said, I believe he's talked with you, Brent. They've got an agenda item next week to reappoint Brent. Hood County, I know, has posted something for folks to submit applications. I don't know when that's going to be on their agenda. And I have not spoken with Judge Dean in Parker County regarding Tim's Director Watts. But I expect I'm keeping up on those and following up with those guys. And I'll be up at the Wise County Commissioner's Court meeting next week when they take up Director Wilson's appointment.
Doug, this is Richard. I will mention that since the deadline for submitting applications to Hood County is tomorrow, I expect it'll be on the agenda for next week's meeting, Hood County.
Okay. I was afraid it was going to be the same day as the Wise County, so I'll keep an eye on that agenda then, Richard. Thank you. That's all I got is my report. Of course, education and outreach. Jill's been really busy taking the trailer everywhere, visiting with a lot of kids, doing a lot of stuff online. Injection well applications, nothing really to report. Tracy, as I was mentioning to you earlier, based on what Jennifer told me earlier, just this month, just the month of May through the first 17 days of May, we received 130 applications. It's pretty crazy what's happening this year.
Random percentages just had my curiosity for the board. New well registrations in Hood County for the first 4 months of the year are at 268% of last year. Parker County, 147% of last year. Wise County, 141% of last year. And Monte County, 253% of last year.
Yeah. Jennifer said, as of today, 132 applications this month.
We may hit a record of 200 well applications per month.
Yeah, we've gotten close, but we've never hit that many. And I mean, it'd blow my mind if we don't get 70 in the next 2 weeks.
And repeat what today was?
This month, this.
2 days. January to May.
Add 132 to whatever it says, Tracy.
It'd be 753
applications this year.
For this year.
They've been busy. Leisha, Zane especially, of course, Blaine and Jake have been helping, but they're running around like chickens with their heads cut off. Zane's gone pretty much within 10, 15 minutes after 8 o'clock, and he usually gets back right around 4:30.
I assume we led the state again last year.
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
We might be ahead of them. They already have everybody beat the year.
Yeah.
This year. One question, I noticed our balance of checking account has gotten substantial. Need to pick up another couple of CDs?
Yeah. I'm going to start looking. All right. I mean, it's not the great time right now, but I'm going to start.
I know it's not the great time. We're on the short term.
Yeah.
It's a significant amount. Review line item expenditures and adopt budget amendments necessary?
Nothing at this time.
Nothing this month. General counsel's report. Brian, you have anything else?
Thank
He's muted.
We'll leave that mute, Brian.
There you go. Sorry about that. Oh, we've just been trying to keep track on the craziness at the Capitol across the street here. And in 2 weeks from right now, they'll be done. And, of course, as with almost every session, everything's still up in the air right now when it comes to groundwater district legislation. We're kind of in one of those standoffs between the House and the Senate. Almost all of the groundwater district bills are still alive, but somebody's got to blink in one chamber or the other, or they're all going to die. So we'll have a full report next month on all the new laws for you. And the other thing, Tracy, I'll note that we've been working on is there was probably, I don't know, 100 Open Meetings Act bills, things like whether you're going to continue to be able to meet virtually. And we were promoting flexibility for local governments to make those decisions themselves. But right now there seems to be a group of senators that are blocking any bills that are going to continue to allow that. So I'm assuming, if I'm a Vegas odds maker, that the one bill that's still alive is probably going to run into the same block in the Senate, and we will be up to the determination of the governor on whether we can continue and how long we can continue to meet virtually. But we'll know all of that in 2 weeks, so we'll keep you posted.
Quick question for you, Brian, on that subject. Has the governor extended that virtual room?
The declaration?
Yeah.
What's the end date on that current declaration?
Well, he extended it early last week, I think, wasn't it, Doug?
Yeah, for another month.
He just keeps doing 30-day extensions. Or 1 month extensions. And I think as long as there's the possibility of federal funds available for states, if they're in a declared disaster area, that disaster declaration is going to stay intact. I haven't heard any indication whether the suspension of the Open Meetings Act provisions that allow virtual meetings is going to stay in lockstep like it has with the disaster declaration, but so far it has. And we're kind of waiting. Maybe we've wondered whether with the CDC's change last week, whether we might see some changes on that front, but we haven't heard anything out of the governor's office, and they're not saying anything. So we'll keep you posted.
Okay. Thank you, Brian.
You bet.
Anything else? Next board meeting is June 21st at 5 p.m. At this point, because that's up in the air, I'm going to say, like this month, a combination of both in-person and virtual, if the governor extends that for us. So if you have anything to place on the agenda, bring it to us. We will have next month.
Oh, it won't be ready next month. It'll be a couple. It's a 30-day notice, and we're not even ready to put a notice up yet.
All right. So anything else for anybody? If not, I'll show the meeting adjourned at 6:09. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.